Hey guys, this is Danielle O'Neill, and welcome to another episode of Misfit Wisdom. I am not an expert by any means. I am just a creative person sharing my opinion and my thoughts on whatever the topic is of the day. And today, I wanted to talk about how. So I ended up, I did have COVID. I think I'm recovered now or recovering. In the last episode, I said I had like a sore throat, but it like probably wasn't COVID. Well, it turned out to be COVID, fully vaccinated and all. And so I'm recovering, but I've been really bored and very restless lately. I have been almost just like wanting to crawl out of my skin because I'm not good at resting. I don't like to rest when I'm quote unquote supposed to rest. And so I've just been doing a lot of like sketching and just, my mind's been going a lot. And I just, because I have all this like mental energy, I decided that I would go on YouTube and try to watch some inspiring videos. And I saw while I was, when I first logged into YouTube, I saw that there was a Dan Rather interview of Steve Perry. I love Dan Rather and I love Steve Perry. And I'm like, when did this come out? I thought it was brand new. And after I'd watched it, I realized that it was from 2019. So it kind of found me at the right time. And I think that happens a lot. Things just find us when they're meant to. And I was very, very much inspired by this interview of Steve Perry from Journey, by the way. I forgot to mention that Steve Perry from Journey, the band, who I love him. I think he's a fantastic human. And I love Journey. I'm a total rock geek. And I was so humbled and inspired and just in love with everything that he was talking about when it came to the creative process and being authentic and accepting yourself and everything. So I want to give a few spoilers of this interview. If you would like to stop this recording and go listen to and watch the YouTube video, it's Dan Rather's interview of Steve Perry. I think it's called like The Big Interview. Go ahead and watch it. And if you want to come back here and listen to sort of my analysis, you're more than welcome to. I just want to touch on a few points that really, really mattered to me. So, I want to start by saying that Steve Perry is one of those people that kind of fell off the face of the earth, right? Like we, if you're a fan of Journey, it's like he kind of just disappeared, and nobody really knows where he went. And basically, he went into isolation, but I'll talk about how he got out of it and how he was inspired by a really wonderful person to and kept a promise to her. But I just want to start out by saying like he was a child of and is still a child of divorce. Just like me, just like so many of us. His parents divorced when he was around 7 years old. So his mother was a dancer, his father was a singer, and he really emulated his father. And he would mimic his dad singing. And at age five, he says that he thought about singing as a career. I mean, obviously as a young kid, but he was seriously thinking about, this is what I want to do when I grow up. And when his parents broke up, it was like very, very rough for him because, as many of us, he blamed himself for the split. He said, I thought it was about me. And I think he still holds on to that. As Dan Rather was kind of questioning him, Steve mentioned that he's been in therapy for a long time. Or for a period of time, and he still carries around some of this guilt from the divorce, which is rough. But he says, I will tell you, I quote, what saved me is music. And he discusses this whole process of when he writes music, he puts on his headphones and he calls it going under. He actually calls it that. So he says he goes off into this land of possibility. And that's an actual quote. I go off into this into the land of possibility. And all of us dreamers, all of us creators have had this experience. We need this to help us heal and to help us transform. We need to have a safe space. And creativity does that. And it did it for Steve. And it's just amazing how he was able to channel so much emotion into his music. And I mean, what a voice. Incredible, incredible voice. He was able to really use his story and his pain as fuel. Nobody really knew what was going on, but he was able to kind of just put that into his music, and he was a powerhouse. And Dan Rather was talking about how a lot of critics called Journey, just corporate rock music, and they kind of just cast him off, Steve Perry off, as shamelessly sentimental. And this part I loved because he said, he was laughing. He goes, "I love being shamelessly sentimental." And I quote, "I love being shamelessly sentimental. That's who I am." End quote. And he said he stopped reading the critics after a while. Like he just embraced who he is. And it shows that he really just gets a kick out of that whole. I guess a lot of people will say the Journey is like sensitive bro music and like power ballads and stuff like that. People might make fun of it. And like, if you like Journey or like, let's say you wear like a Journey t-shirt or something, they'll say, "Oh, what are you, like a softie at heart or something?" Or like make fun of the whole, I get the whole corporate rock thing, but like, that's who he is. And he fully embraces it and fully accepts it. And sometimes I wish that I could be more like that. And I feel like all of us creative people, all of us artists, and we're all artists in some way, right? We all have our own way of expressing. But sometimes I think we get so critical of ourselves because the world tends to be critical and they tend to define us by what they see on the surface. And I was really inspired by Steve because he just took it with a grain of salt and he just laughed it off. Because this is a man who, despite all of his pain, despite all of the pain that he's been dealing with, he has come to this acceptance of self. And he's just the laugh that came out of him when he said, "I love being shamelessly sentimental. And that's who I am." I just really held tightly to that because I personally have felt typecast by a lot of people, and I am nowhere near the level of fame. And I don't know if I ever will be recognized for anything that I do, but I feel like all of us in our personal lives have been typecast in a way, right? Like the people will stereotype us and they will judge us based on what they see on the surface. And he has fully accepted who he is, and he just loves that. And I think the fact that he stopped reading the critics, very, very early on was a great indication that he was comfortable with himself. And so I loved that. I just loved that. So, but even if we never see the social definition of quote unquote success, like Journey, like Steve Perry, we normal human beings, we just regular creatives, which I think we're all extraordinary in a way. We're not superior, but we all have something amazing to offer. I think that we could still apply a lot of Steve's attitude and principles to our lives. Sorry about the noise. There's kids upstairs. Everybody's home for the holidays, so there's going to be like bangs and, just shaking walls and random surprises. But, one thing that Steve talks about is he, I mean, and I love this. I love the humanity of this guy. So in 1987, he left the band. He walked away. And I think people were very confused after that. And he was very honest, and he said, and I quote, "The passion for music had left me," end quote. And he became a very much involved with party behaviors. You know, he was creatively frustrated. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was going to do with his life. And eventually what he did was distance himself from the band because he felt distanced from himself. And he got to the point where he just realized that he needed to honor his soul, basically. And what did he do? He let his hair fly free. He said, he rode a Harley in California, and he did something which was really interesting to me, which is a really, I've been reading a lot about like trauma recovery techniques and stuff like that. And one thing he did was he really grounded and he reconnected with childhood in a positive way. So when he left the band, he was, like I said, he gave this beautiful picture of like letting his hair down, and you know, because he had that long hair, you know, that 80s hair. And he said he was rode his Harley Davidson in California by alfalfa field or whatever it was. I don't know if like it was like a, just a field of alfalfa. He said that he was reconnecting with his childhood, basically, in a healthy, positive way. And he said he was feeling the breeze. You know, he was really connecting to nature, and he was grounding. And I feel like we all need to do this. I think that what he did was stepping away from the creativity when it didn't feel authentic. It felt forced. It felt commercialized, maybe. It felt just, it didn't feel real to him anymore. He grounded and he reconnected with what was true for him. Grounding meaning returning to the roots, you know, doing something that helps you feel centered and connected to the earth, and just helps you to receive. You know, it's like I think this creativity for him was a way of give, 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 even though it was transformative and helpful for him. After a while, it became more about, I think, pushing and giving. And it was really what's it seems to me from his conversation with Dan, rather, is that it was really time for him to receive that sort of gift from being in nature, being in the earth, being around things that reminded him of the soothing aspects of childhood. And he let himself be free. And not all of us have the opportunity to do that on a daily basis, like in a huge way. Maybe we can't just leave everything behind and just find what we feel like is freedom. But I feel like we can do that in little increments, maybe throughout our day. You know, like maybe we can just find a way to connect with nature and just step back, even if it's for a few minutes, to kind of reevaluate what we're doing with our lives. I mean, he did it in a big way and he isolated for many years, but he was going through something, you know, and that's his process. That was his soul process. That was his, you know, part of his replenishing him, his soul as a huge mega star. But like I said, we can all kind of find a way to return to ourselves in daily life, I think personally. And that was a huge inspiration for me. It's like you don't have to stop everything you're doing and just reevaluate your whole life, but sometimes we just need to pause and find a way to ground ourselves as creative people. Because life can get hectic, and sometimes we realize we're doing things for the wrong reasons, you know? We have to ask ourselves, are we listening to, you know, our soul, as corny as that might sound. And you know, sometimes when creativity becomes the career, you know, when somebody makes a career out of making art or music or whatever creative path they choose, sometimes it's no longer the escape. And we sometimes may feel the need to escape the escape. And that's kind of what happened for him. You know, it's like his creativity was his way of channeling these emotions and like healing, but then his creativity became a career. It became a lucrative career. And I guess after a while, it just wasn't the escape that it once was. And that's okay. But I think as an artist, after a while, certain things stop feeling so authentic. And the rest of the world may not understand it because they're like, well, he was successful. He had money. He had this. He had that. But us sensitives know that sometimes, and all the time, actually, we need to really listen to what feels true for us. And I know that sounds very airy-fairy to a lot of people who don't get it. And they want stability, and they want, they don't want the idea of like a major rock star just walking away from their band to take care of himself. That sounds selfish, and that sounds like a thing that we just don't do in this culture. But sometimes it's highly necessary to take care of the self. And he went through this whole period of meeting a woman who was like the one for him, and she was very ill. She had cancer, and she asked him if anything were to happen to her, if he could promise her not to go back into isolation, and he kept that promise. So it was like a promise made to somebody that he really loved, still loves, and respects. And now that she's passed away, he has that deeper connection and need to like fulfill the promise, but it was also something that was helpful for him on moving out of isolation. He, is still working towards that. And it's hard sometimes because I'm sure he has this, if he's anything like me, I understand this knee-jerk reflex and desire to isolate when things get hard and when things don't feel authentic anymore. So he's fighting that probably on a regular basis, and he's probably working through it. I mean, I don't know what his personal process was like, but he promised the woman, Kelly, her name was, that he would not go back into isolation. Because I guess it, I mean, obviously it wasn't healthy for him. It was a way of escaping. Maybe it was good for a while for him to just sort of just step away from everything to reevaluate his life. But when you kind of get caught in the isolation for too long, then it's hard to come out of it. It's hard to kind of reemerge into the world. But he said that he had the music, and the music helped to make him, put him back together. And now, and then he kind of came home in a way to his creativity once again. And that's the magic of it. It's like the music was still there for him, even though he kind of got lost with it for a while and it didn't feel real. It felt forced. He came back to it and it was pretty awesome. At least that's the interpretation that I got from it. So everybody has something in their childhood and their life, I think, that they hold on to. We all have like our own pains and our own like issues. And he even said it. He's like, everybody's got something in their life or in their childhood that turns them off course, I quote. And now, just to paraphrase, he says he's extremely grateful and emotionally grateful that basically his music rescued him. And I feel the same way about different forms of art. It's not just one form of art. It could be writing, it could be painting, it could be talking on this podcast. I am not a professional by any means. I'm an amateur at so many things in my life, but just having these creative outlets and ways of expressing myself and processing things in my brain, whether it's verbally, non-verbally, abstractly, if that's a word. Is it a word, abstractly? I'm very grateful for all those ways of expressing myself. And I love that Steve found a channel and a way to help him transmute and process his emotions. But also, this was a way for him to share joy with others. So not only is he channeling his emotions, but he's sharing such a great amount of joy with others. I mean, look at Don't Stop Believin'. We can't like not mention that song, even though it annoys the hell out of a lot of people, because it's like, it's kind of a drunken, annoying bar anthem. But there's something that's very American and very cool about that too. And knowing the story about Steve kind of makes Don't Stop Believin' really like a faith anthem in a way. You know, it's like whatever pain he experienced, he sang it out and he brought comfort and he brought an outlet for millions of people. You know, it's a way for people to move forward in life, like just, you know, getting themselves into these positive mindsets and just kind of uniting with people. So look at what that does. So what I'm trying to say is like, we might not think that our creativity is helpful to others, but I think that it's very contagious, to use that word in the time of COVID, but contagious in a good way. You know, like it's very positive stuff, very helpful stuff. And it works in a twofold manner because it can help us, it can bring joy to us, it can bring relief to us, but it can also help other people in a way, in ways that we might not even understand. And it might help people somewhere down the line. And that's not our responsibility to fix and help people, but it sure helps the world when, you know, people can connect with us and relate to us in some way. And that helps us feel more understood. And it also helps them feel understood in a way. One thing that I will take from this, I mean, there's so many things that I take from this interview, is that even though Steve experienced profound loss, like, in the divorce of his parents, in the death of the woman of his dreams that he absolutely adored. Another major thing that happened to him is that he mentioned that there was a violation against him when he was a child by people outside his family. We don't know the full story. He wouldn't mention everything about it because he had a lot of boundaries around that. But we know that it was a really traumatizing event for him. So that's another instance where he felt the need to turn to creativity in order to feel safe. He says, quote, "If we're lucky, there's pain and passion. That means you're alive and we're still here. That's the blessing." I'm going to read that quote again because I think it's really amazing. Quote, "If we're lucky, there's pain and passion. That means you're alive and we're still here. That's the blessing," end quote. So this is someone who acknowledges that life is often painful. You know, there's a lot of pain. I mean, we've been dealing with so much grief and so much loss over the past couple of years. Sometimes it's really, really difficult to bear. Like, how do we handle it? How do we process it? And he says, you know, there's pain and passion, but that's a sign that we're alive. And it's a way of feeling. And sometimes it feels like it's too much for us, but I think he has a really good understanding of what it means to be an artist, like truly from the core, because yes, it's painful. Yes, there's this whole process of, you know, that people don't see, the songwriting process, the whole putting things together, the whole creative process might be messy. It might be emotional. And then on the other side, there's a beautiful song that's written at the end of it. And there's another song that he recently released. It's called We're Still Here. It's a beautiful song. And you can hear on his new album, the smoky sort of beautifully aged vocals of Steve. And obviously he doesn't have that like same sound as he was when he was younger, but he's got like a beautiful matured voice, and the song We're Still Here is just so beautiful. You know, to use the same word again and again, it is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes you just can't, I'm bad at thinking of synonyms sometimes. So, you know, it's like, we're here together. Despite our past, despite the pain, the grief, the imperfection, and we are embracing our darkness in a way. There's a line in the song that goes, "The night is calling," right? In the song, "We're Still Here." This is on his new album. So, "We're still here where love is running. The night is calling again." And I think Dan Rather interpreted that as like, you know, death. Like, you know, like somebody, I don't know if he said like, is that indicative of like death and dying and all that kind of stuff. But for me, my interpretation was like, the night is calling. It's like, embracing our own darkness in a way. It's like, it's an invitation for us to look at it and process it instead of shove it away. You know, like we have to kind of look at our own crap, our own imperfections, our own shadow side or whatever, and process it. And Steve has really done that in such a gorgeous, honest, human way. And, you know, there's so much more that I could say. There's so much more in my notes that I have here. You could probably hear me flipping through pages. But one thing he said was that, and I feel this way too, there's this sense of a lot of us to be, this desire to be seen. Even me now doing this podcast, it's like, I don't know how many people are going to listen to it, but like, there's this part of me that wants to be seen and heard. Because I think when our, you know, those of us who have experienced like the divorce of our parents, many of us have felt very invisible, you know, when our parents divorced. And Steve used to isolate in his garage. And he felt very safe when he was a kid, and he felt invisible, but that was safety for him. And he said that you don't perform, you don't like become this performer unless you really want people to see you. We do have this human desire to be seen, heard, and understood. And I think like for me, I've been pushing my art out there in a big way, not because I think it's great, but it's because I have this desire to be understood. I felt misunderstood my whole childhood. I felt like a misfit, hence the title Misfit Wisdom. We're always learning. We're always gaining knowledge. But like, you know, maybe some of us, maybe if you are listening, maybe you feel the same way. Maybe some of us felt ignored or lonely or like misfits in childhood. And this way of performing through some sort of art, whether you're a dancer, whether you're an actor, whether you are doing your own podcast or some sort of creative expression, not only is it therapeutic to express, but it's also therapeutic to feel like you're putting yourself out there. And that I'm not saying that you're craving attention and validation, because it's part of that too, is our human ways. It's also, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to crave attention, even though it could lead to this feeling of inadequacy if we don't achieve a certain number of quote unquote likes in this social media obsessed world. But I think that the positive side is that we connect with other people who may see us and understand us. So if we're creating a community of like-minded artists who are putting themselves out there in some way and performing in some way, we could root for one another. You know, we can connect with one another. We can create community.
And I think that just by being interviewed and sharing his story, Steve Perry is doing exactly this.
He returned to this truth in music. Somehow he was able to find that again. And he was able to explain in the interview that he's a really abstract person, very sort of mysterious in a way. He can't even kind of define himself a lot of the time. And no, none of us can, right? He described himself, and Dan Rather used the word enigma. And I think all of us are that way. And not one particular thing defines us as artists, as creatives. We're human beings. We are full of emotion. We have our pasts that not everybody will know about. We have our thoughts that plague us sometimes. We have our fears. We have those who love us and support us. And we have, if we're lucky, a space of our own we can go to and create and be ourselves, somewhere we can retreat to and kind of just feel safe. And I think all of us have the potential to create that safe space, whether it be a room in our house, a corner of a room, or just even a place in our minds when we meditate, when we just kind of go inward. But I think the moral of this story is that it's okay to, more than okay, to accept who you are, to accept the fact that you may not know exactly who you are, but to accept all of the parts of yourself, even the ones that people may criticize or mock or make fun of. Even greater, there is healing. There's the potential for so much healing and processing and connection and community in creativity. And it may not happen right away, but it's a process. It's a lifelong process. Maybe if we focus on enjoying the whole creative process and allowing it to take us wherever we need to go, it will show us something beautiful. Just the same way that creativity and the creative process has done for Steve. It hasn't always been a perfect ride. It's been far from it. But he's been able to really just use everything that's happened to him in life and to just put it into this beautiful vehicle. And it's taken him so far. And we may not all have equal levels of quote unquote success, but we can all pick up a paintbrush or a pen or open our mouths and just sing or whatever it is, a way of letting go. And we don't have to judge what comes up. We can just release and let go and let creativity take us somewhere different. We don't know where it's going to take us, but let it just take us on a ride and let's see where it leads. I always recommend the help of a good therapist, because Steve talks about his therapy process a little bit and he says that it did help him, you know? So I think it's very important if you're someone who's dealt with trauma and really difficult emotions to definitely seek out therapy and use your therapist to help you with this creative process. If that's the path that you want to go down, if you want to explore your creativity more, I believe that there's hope and there's healing. And it's not linear, but it is possible. I really hope that you enjoyed hearing about my interpretation of the Steve Perry interview with Dan Rather. I could do a whole other podcast on Dan Rather, how gracious of an interviewer he is, and maybe I will someday. He is a huge inspiration for me as someone who studied journalism. But I wanted to focus on the man, the really elusive, the really, the really enigmatic Steve Perry, who a lot of people don't understand. Maybe hopefully we understand him a little bit better, but no one will ever fully understand our path. The point is that we are true to ourselves and true to our creativity and true to our craft, no matter what people tell us. And that's a challenge for many of us as we go through daily life, because we have responsibilities and we have to, quote unquote, be an adult. But creativity allows us to play a little bit, allows us to relax, and allows us to let go, to let our hair down. Just thinking of that image of Steve Perry on his Harley riding through the alfalfa fields to ground ourselves, to find a way to be free. And I encourage you to do that, not only in this holiday season, which hopefully will bring you great, great joy, but throughout the rest of your life. It's a process, like I said, and I'm really, really inspired to have people like Steve Perry lead the way. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful holiday season.